Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Lawrie Wyman and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. We all know there are certain advantages in marrying the boss's daughter. I never benefited from them because at the time the chief announcer wasn't married. So for me to ask him if I could marry his daughter could have led to instant dismissal. However, Lieutenant Commander Murray has just married the Admiral's daughter, Rita Fafont-Bittox. And the crew of Clybridge realize there are certain built-in perks. Not only the obvious ones for him, but certain less obvious ones for themselves. Even at this moment, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips and Chief Petty Officer Pertwee are waiting respectfully at the head of the gangplank for the return of their captain and his bride from their honeymoon.
Here they come.
Oh, don't he look pale?
Well, they certainly look as if they've enjoyed themselves.
Well, he certainly does. He's still got one bedroom slipper on.
Now, Chief, steady up, steady up. Now, take that smile off your face.
Take that smile off your face, it is, sir.
Yeah. Pertwee, stand to attention and pipe the captain and his blushing bride aboard.
All right, sir.
So I noticed. When I find out who thought of the idea, I'll suspend him by his braces from the highest yardarm in Portsmouth for a month.
Welcome aboard, sir. And how's the honeymoon?
That's what I like, the subtle approach.
It was all terribly satisfactory.
Sorry, pardon.
If you must know,
is it?
We went to France, but I didn't see very much of it.
No, Stevikin spent most of his time in bed.
Pertwee?
Not a word.
I was injured.
Oh, nasty.
It happened in the lift. And it won't happen by... But it really wasn't my fault. I mean, how was I to know that silly old gate would shut at the wrong time?
I don't think I quite, would you mind, you haven't made it quite clear to what actually was happening when where that did the lift? But I know it's an immoral, I mean, far be it for me to even suggest. I mean, how on earth did he get injured when he was... Well, I mean, I've never heard of anyone who was there. Well, I mean, surely the lift boy... I mean, which floor? Well, for crying out loud, what the hell happened?
I thought you'd never ask. Well, as you can see, I hurt my foot.
Oh, your foot! Oh, yes, of course, the slipper.
He got it caught in the lift gate.
Pardon?
Don't bother to tell them about it, dear. I'll explain later. I've got a lot of work to do.
Then, Stevikin, this is it.
Yes, dearest. I'm afraid it is.
Oh, well. I knew it had to come to this. Sooner or later.
You've got everything. You'll be all right.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'll do some good work for the charity horse show.
Yes, do that. I'll think of you doing it.
Well, if you're not too busy, out there.
No, we're not sailing yet. I should just stay here with the chaps, waiting for orders.
Of course. I've understand? You've got your job to do, and I've got mine.
Of course. I understand. Well, this is it?
Yes.
Yes. Goodbye, Rita.
Goodbye, Station.
See you at lunch.
I think I want to be sick.
Yeah, me too, sir. I was so miserable for half a minute, I thought we were aboard HMS Peyton Place.
No.
Well, sir, now that your bit of crump, your wife, has gone, it occurred to, what did happen in that lift?
Now, what had happened was that Rita accidentally shut my foot in the lift gate on the way up to our room.
I wonder why Rita Kins always sabotages your foot.
It's understandable. She's just not used to people leaving their feet laying about on the floor, is she? No, she's used to sitting with her feet 3 feet up in the air.
Eh?
In the stirrups, on the back of an unhappy horse. But she's not going to get his hoof trapped in the starting gate.
Now, that's enough,
Murphy. Yeah, still, apart from your tortured tootsie, how did you enjoy France?
Oh, the view from my bed in the hospital at Calais was very impressive. I used to wave to Rita Kins every morning as she cantered past on her pony.
Sexy swan.
All is not lost, sir. I mean, now that you've got the Admiral as old Daddy Kins in law, you should be all right for a bit more leave than you have your abashed that honeymoon.
Chief, are you suggesting for 1 minute that I would take advantage of my marital relationship with the Admiral?
There must be a better way of phrasing that. But Percy's right. Now the Admiral's your fatherkins-in-law, you must have got your trotters under the table.
Mr. Phillips, once and for all, the fact that Rita happens to be the Admiral's daughter is a pure coincidence. I love her. Yeah? I love her.
Just as you say, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You, Tiddy.
Yes, sir. Lovely day. Leastways, it is for me. You've had it. Captain Povey's compliments, and he wants to see you in his office urgent. I tell you that get your posterior off your chair and be quick about it, because he's a very busy man.
You didn't have to give me the message about Beatty.
If I had, sir, I'd be in the rattle by now.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I wouldn't worry, sir. After all, you did marry the Admiral's daughter.
Tiddy, I did not marry the Admiral's daughter to further my naval career. I love her. You hear me? I love her.
Ah, well, you know about these things.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Never mind about that. And tell Captain Povey I'll be over immediately.
Come in.
Excuse me, Captain Povey. Lieutenant Commander of Blushing Bridegroom Murray to see you, sir.
Wheel him in.
Certainly, sir. Shall I spread rose petals in his path?
Don't bother. When I've finished with him, thorns would be more appropriate.
This way, T.V. Kim. I don't know what it's all about, but you'll be all right. After all, you have married the Admiral's daughter.
Well, if you're insinuating,
oh, oh, do shut up, Commander Murray, and come in.
Oh, who was I? I gathered you wanted to see me urgently.
Yes, Commander. I wish to acquaint you with the smooth running of your ship during your matrimonial leave. Only yesterday, under the replacement officer, Commander Whittaker, they returned from Portugal. No navigational errors. No docking accidents. No claims for damages from other vessels.
Are you sure you're talking about the right ship?
Positive. It's one food for thought, isn't it?
All the way to Portugal and they didn't hit anything.
And back.
Oh, that settles it. You aren't talking about Troutbridge.
Oh, I assure you I am.
Oh, of course, far be it for me to suggest that this indicates that your ship's previous bits, bashes, bangs, bollocks were due to errors of command on your part. I dare to. Admiral is your father-in-law. Once and for all, I would like to make it absolutely and perfectly clear that the fact that my wife, Rita Kins, Rita, is the Admiral's daughter is pure coincidence. I love her. You hear me? I love her. As far as I'm concerned, I'd have married her if she'd been a dustman's daughter, or a bank clerk's daughter, or a grocer's daughter, or a gas fitter's daughter, or a
a Sagamaker bottom knocker's daughter. For me, the sun shines out of ground that she walks on. She epitomizes all that's good and pure and innocent in British womanhood. I'm sick and tired of these malicious suggestions that this perfect love and understanding between two human beings that my wife and I have brought to fruition are in any way connected with any thought on my part of monetary gain. In short, regardless of rank and with due respect, if there's one more snide remark from anybody, I shall tell Daddy Kids.
Now there's obviously been a misunderstanding between us. Stephen, I fully understand. As a married man, I thought it merely occurred to me that when you're having one of your family get-togethers and your father-in-law is present, well, let's say that I would overlook the pure coincidence that your ship runs more efficiently without you if you, quite accidentally, of course, should happen to mention that I am overdue for promotion.
That does it. I love her. You hear me? I love her. Good morning.
You know, Padre, I can't tell you how relieved I am that Commander Murray is back. That temporary captain they lumbered us with just hadn't got a clue.
No, I thought he was a
splendid hero.
That's so terribly efficient.
Efficient? You're joking. He didn't even know what I meant when I ordered left hand down a bit.
Good gracious.
He kept talking a lot of old Codswallop about, don't you mean steer 390 to remain on course of Longy Watson-Ames and Lackey things?
It all sounds frightfully complicated.
Well, I told him, if you think you can steer the ship better than I can, I said, go ahead, I said.
And what happened?
The rudder did. All the way there and all the way back.
Ah, I wondered unto myself why it was, during the voyage, to foreign parts, that if we not suffer unto our hull, the customary number of assorted biffs and bearings.
Biffs and bearings!
You were on his side all the time, weren't you? Just because he puts a half crown instead of two bob in the collection plate on Sunday.
Yeah, I never noticed.
Well, it's just as well, because half-crowns aren't legal tender now. You won't be able to spend them in the church surplus stores anymore.
Oh, the unmitigated bounty. If it came to pass that he returned, I would surely dip him one in the pond.
Oh, I don't think you'll meet Commander Whittaker again, now that we've got our own captain back. In fact, I doubt if Troutbridge will ever put to sea again.
Mr. Phillips, whatever do you mean?
It stands to reason, doesn't it? I mean, the Admiral's not going to risk the life of his son-in-law on a dodgy old float about like this. Either we shall stay in dock, or we'll all be transferred to the Royal Yacht.
In that case,
God save our great
Padre!
Just getting into practice.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
By all means, Chief. I was just about to pass from this place to squat up the christening ceremony. After all, now that our gallant captain has taken unto him a bride, I don't want to be caught in an emergency with my cap down.
Ooh, nasty. What is it, Chief? You wanted to see me?
Not exactly, sir. No. According to my grapevine, you aren't here, sir.
Oh, aren't I?
Yes.
Where am I?
Here, sir, and you shouldn't be.
Why not?
Well, you, sir, no, sir. How the heck can I take a private phone call on the wardroom phone without you knowing it if you're here?
Well, I'm terribly sorry. Go ahead and answer the phone.
Well, very well, sir, but if it's all the same to you, I'll wait until it rings.
What a good idea. I'll wait with you. Well, go on, answer it.
Well, only on one condition, sir, that you stick your paws in your ear holes while I'm chatting.
Oh, very well. Over and out.
Chief Petty Officer Pertwee's residence.
Watch it, Chauncey boy. This is Nunky. What's all the panic about?
Nunky, you stupid old bristle mush. You ought to know. Where were you with your tatty old van last night?
Oh, well, I couldn't get Bessie started.
Look, I'm not interested in your snogging on the side. What happened to you and your band?
Bessie hit me fan. Oh. Apart from colic in her carburetor, her points needed a bit of emery over them.
Ooh, nasty.
Mr. Phillips, you're not supposed to be listening.
Oh, sorry, pardon. Pause back over my lug holes. Over and out.
Listen, Nugget, you daft old twit. We've got Troutbridge's number 2 ammunition locker full up with wine we brought back from Portugal. You don't pick it up soon, we're all in the shabbily.
Leave it to me, Johnsy boy. I'll pick it up as soon as I can.
Make it sooner. If the armaments officer goes below and finds out what's in our number 2 ammunition boxes, I'm for the high jump. And I'll make sure I see you up there.
Don't bother to drag me into it.
Oh, it's no bother. Goodbye. Thank you for the use of the phone, Mr. Phillips. Mr. Phillips, I'll finish him. Oui, coffee. Take your fingers out there. Peek-a-boo!
Did you say something?
I said, take it! Sorry, sir, I said, thank you very much for the use of the phone, sir. What you didn't witness?
Not at all. It was jolly interesting.
What was it?
Well, the way the third finger on each hand exactly fits the 2 little holes on either side of my head.
Congratulations, sir. In fact, they all do.
Ah, but the third finger's the most comfortable. You know, the thumbs don't work at all.
Don't they? Mine do.
Big ears.
Thank you, Robbie. Now, look, if we quite finish discussing our mutual cranium orifices...
How what?
Ear holes, do you say? I must be away to arrange my social life, because now that Commander Murray's married the Admiral's daughter, I can't see my arrangements being disturbed, can you, sir? We probably won't ever put to sea again.
Now, isn't that odd? Those are my very words to the padre.
Is everybody raving mad? Is there no sentiment left in the world? Isn't there somebody left who can understand that I married Rita because I love her? You hear me? I love her. Now, don't you two start again. I've had all I can take for one morning. Honestly. First I get these sly remarks about bettering myself from the entire ship's company, and then I get it from old Thunderguts and Heather. Can't anybody understand that I married Rita for only one reason?
We know, sir. You love her.
We do hear you.
You love her.
Exactly. My domestic situation will make absolutely no difference to my future naval career.
Of course not, sir. You love her.
What? Let me carry on as before. And the fact that I happen to be married to the Admiral's daughter has got nothing to do with it.
Of course not, sir. You love her.
I can keep my naval and private life entirely separate. I shall never let the one influence the other.
Of course not, sir. You love her.
Right.
I will see you in the city reporting, sir.
Good afternoon.
What is it today? Admiral's car parked at the foot of the gangplank, sir. You've been adrift from Rita King's for 3 hours, 27 minutes. And he wanted to make quite sure you haven't deserted him.
Oh. Very well. But if I'm wanted at home, I'll walk. I'm not going to let my father-in-law influence me.
Of course not, sir! You lover! Oh, God!
Oh, there you are, Murray. Well, help yourself to a noggin. Glasses on the sideboard. Now, you've met this idiot over here, Professor Mannering, whatever the fool's name is.
It's Mannings, Admiral.
Don't argue. If I say your name's Mannering, it's Mannering. Mannering.
Oh, very well, Admiral. I'll have it changed by deed poll in the morning.
Sure. Well, you don't want to bother about him anyway, Murray. He's halfway around the twist already. Got some damn stupid idea about a new filling for your triple-barreled anti-submarine mortar bombs.
Oh, congratulations. Does it work?
Well, it did, with matchsticks being fired out of a drinking straw.
See what I mean? Never mind about halfway, he's all the way around the twist. Still, these idiots at Whitehall reckon he's worth a try with one of his large economy-sized matchsticks on one of our ships.
You see, I got the idea for my invention when I inadvertently used a non-safety match in the drinking straw. The friction caused it to light, and I suddenly realized the advantage of being able to know where the hell the bomb had landed. It's quite simple. So I immediately invented an anti-submarine tracer bomb. As it whizzes off, it shoots blue flames out of its rear, if you understand me.
Yes, I understand you.
Excuse me, Daddy.
Oh, no, not now. I'm busy. Well, that's settled then, Murray. You'll take this nit out for the trials of his daft invention at 1600 hours this afternoon.
Oh, no, he won't.
What?
I'm jolly well not having you waste your life with my husband with a lot of flaming matchsticks popping out of drinking straws. Too valuable a life to be thrown away like a cast-off horseshoe of a cast-off boot. It's not too late to think again. If you must send my sailor boy husband to sea, have mercy, and let it be just a quick trip round the harbour and tea and crumpet at cold.
Oh, Ritakins.
Oh, Steviekins.
Oh, creeping Ivykins. All right, then, I'll find another ship to take this fool and his blasted invention out to trial.
No. Well, I must insist, no. I will not be mollycoddled. I demand that I and my ship should be subjected to the hazard of facing the unknown danger of these water bomb trials.
They're as plotty as Mannering is.
It's Mannering's, actually.
When I want your blasted opinion, Mannering, I'll ask for it. Well, you're absolutely right, Murray. I admire your courage. I think you're a complete nana, but I admire you. Right, off you go. And don't forget to take the professor with you and his blasted bombs.
Right. Stop engines.
Stop engines, it is.
Just a minute. Just a minute. I'm the driver.
Yes, and I'm the captain, and I said stop engines.
Why? I didn't hear the bang. What have we hit?
Nothing, Mr. Phillips, sir. Just a slight error in your navigationals. You've taken us far too fast.
What do you mean?
We're outside the harbour, sir. With the Admiral's son-in-law aboard, that won't never do.
Now, look here, you two. I've had just about enough of this. We're out here on a very special and secret mission.
Oh, I've been Shanghai.
That's ridiculous, Chief. We can't have got as far as Shanghai. I mean, I can't smell the rice pudding.
Oh, come out of the paddy fields, Mr. Phillips. We're merely out here to demonstrate a new type of anti-submarine water bomb. That's why Makepeace is on the station over there. The Admiral and several high-ranking NATO officials are aboard to observe the trials.
Are there? Well, when we fire them, if they're smart, they'll duck.
Yes, and if we're smart, so will we.
Ah, here you all are. I've brought my mortar bombs aboard in ordinary ammunition tins, and I've seen them stored safely.
Professor, not that I, as an humble mackerel, I wish to try, but... What's so different about your mortar bomb?
Well, perhaps it goes off in the tube and blows up the ship that's firing it.
No, nothing like that. It's a tracer. So when it leaves the tube, it leaves an iridescent trail, even underwater. It's a slightly different shape, but it's fired by the normal cartridge at the base of the mortar.
Oh, you mean it glows as it goes.
Are you certain your tracer bomb works?
No. All I can tell you is that if you fire a cap gun underneath a drinking straw with a non-safety match down it, it does.
You mean that there haven't been any field trials or anything? We're the first ones who've got to fire this thing.
Well, in a manner of speaking, one could say no. But let's not beat about the bush and say yes.
I suppose we might as well get on with it. Chief, all of the mortar crew to load from the number 2 anti-submarine mortar locker.
Pardon? Number 2. Give us the money, sir. I wouldn't advise it. No. Leave their matches closed. Take it to one who's been in the service undutifully done years. It's better not to tinker with the uncertainties of life. Don't shake your head, sir. Nod it. You'll pack it in the end. Good. That's settled then. Start engine. Hope we're going back to England home with a bunch of duty.
Mr.
Phillips, what's he on about?
I don't know. Probably something to do with that phone call he had from Nunky in the wardroom.
What?
I don't know what. I had my fingers stuck in my ears at the time. Incidentally, sir, did you know that they all fit in these little holes here on the side of your head? Except the thumbs. They're absolutely useless.
One learns something new every day.
I did try crossing my arms to see if my right-hand fingers would fit into my left ear, and my left-hand fingers would fit into my right ear. But I couldn't. My jacket split all down the back.
Oh, shut up.
Far be it for me to interrupt. No, let's be honest about it. I do want to interrupt. Now, can we get on with this flaming exercise and fire my flaming bomb?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. We've forgotten all about you. Mr. Phillips, tell the water crew to load from the number 2 anti-submarine projectile locker. We'll fire the professor's invention in 5 minutes from now.
Oui.
Right, Caps. This is it. 20 seconds to go. Gosh, this is exciting. I am proud. I can't wait to see what happens.
And neither can I. It was all vintage shabby, you know.
5, 4, 3.
Yes, this must be awful.
1. Thunder and fire!
Why are we firing bottles of wine instead of water? I'd rather look first.
Jolly good year, though. A bit of the label off one of the bottles just landed on my chart desk. It says, Chateau Bottled in Portugal.
Portugal? Wasn't that where you sailed when Rita and I were...
Pure coincidence, sir. I'll never touch the stuff myself.
No, you just smuggle it. Come on, own up. Number 2 ammunition locker is full of Portuguese booze, isn't it? Bridge?
I will see Matilly report, you sir. I'm on the WT.
Oh, not again.
Yes, sir. Just doing my duty. Urgent signal from the Admiral aboard the flagship, sir.
I had a feeling there would be.
Message reads, what the blankety blank blank do you think you're up to? Wait till I blankety blank blank will see you when you blankety blank blank will get home. Message ends. Good afternoon.
No, chaps, after this, if I've got any future career left in the Navy at all, it's just as well as I did marry the Admiral's daughter.
Of course, sir. And you love her.
We did hear you.
You love her.
Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips have been bombarding the Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was the CO, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Captain Pertwee was played by Richard Caldicott, Rita was Heather Chasen, the Admiral was Daniel Evans, the Professor was Michael Bates, and Abel Stephen Tilly was played by Laurie Wyman. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnson.